Hello, gorgeous people, and welcome to a new episode of the Imposter Syndrome Terminator podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the most important technique, fact, explanation, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to manifesting whatever it is you want. And I know that I'm launching a program now, so many of you might be interested in how to manifest more money in clients. But of course, it can be anything. And I've talked about manifestation and how to get what you want on many occasions in this podcast, but this is really going to simplify it almost to a ridiculous extent. So there is no room for confusion and no overwhelm as to how many steps you need to take or what you need to clear or what limiting beliefs might be blocking you. There is none of that. There's just one simple law with it, which is the law of assumption. What it is, how it works, how I practically used it in my life to manifest numerous things, and how you can do it too, and how fast things can move when you do this well. So this is a very, very exciting episode, and I think that you will love it, and I recommend that you listen to this 5,000 times if necessary, until you get as excited as me about this law. So the law of assumption was basically made popular by author Neville Goddard, still can't pronounce his name, and it implies that you can basically manifest anything by thinking and feeling as if you already had it. So this is no news, you've already heard this a million times before, but sometimes the way one author specifically explained things just makes everything click. And he gave the subtle yet oh so important distinction that you need to think from your wish fulfilled rather of your wish fulfilled. Let's imagine that I want to manifest a new vehicle, like a new car or whatever. I can be thinking of the car that I want to manifest and how it's going to be. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what I want to manifest. And this, you know, whatever Maserati, Aston Martin, BMW, whatever car you want is going to be like this and like that. And this is what I'm actively manifesting. So that is thinking of what you want. It's going to be so awesome once I have it. I'm so excited about having it, blah, blah. Versus thinking from having it. So thinking from the wish fulfilled. Thinking from the assumption that the wish is already fulfilled, which would imply that my car is already in my possession. So what would I be thinking of if I was already driving my dream car? Maybe I would be thinking something like, oh, I need to go to the gas station tomorrow because I'm running low on gas. Or maybe I would think something like, oh, it's already been 1,000 miles or kilometers. I need the first, you know, oil change. Or I would imagine myself having a conversation with someone who would be saying, hey, I had this colleague at the office who has the exact same Maserati or Aston Martin as you, and they had so much fun with it in rough conditions when it was snowing because the grip on the tires is just so good. Is that also your experience? So I would have this inner conversation or imagine a dialogue that I would have with someone that implies that I already have that vehicle. Or maybe I would, you know, think of, oh, how am I going to structure my podcast episode tomorrow on how I manifested my dream car? All of that is thinking from the wish already being fulfilled versus thinking of what you wish to manifest. And it's a very important distinction. And the important distinction, or I mean the consequences of this distinction, is in your everyday mind chatter. And author Neville Goddard emphasizes time and time and time again that it is really fun in games to imagine what it is you want, but what is really going to bring your manifestation to you is how you act all of the rest of the day and what assumptions and expectations you're subconsciously and consciously holding. So I'm going to give you very precise examples about this because we don't realize the extent to which we have assumptions and expectations that imply that what we want is not there. So it's not enough to be, you know, following one of my meditations or a YouTube guided hypnosis or whatever on I am abundant, I am rich, I have clients, but then the 23 and a half rest of the hours, or rather the 12 remaining waking hours of your day, you have inner dialogue, thoughts and feelings that are not consistent with the wish already being fulfilled. So if I take another example and I want to pay, you know, I want a bunch of bills to be paid, thinking from the wish being fulfilled, so all of my bills, maybe my student loan, maybe I have 15,000 in student loan, it's been worrying me a lot, right? So I want all of my debts to be wiped out. So if I was thinking from the wish already being fulfilled, assuming that my manifestation was there, I would be thinking stuff like, huh, I'm so satisfied now that this debt is, student debt is out of my life. Or I would be sending a message to my mom saying, hey, I've got some great news. I'm finally debt free. All of my student loans have been paid for. Let's go to like this nice hotel and have a celebratory organic green tea and scones, right? So this is what I would be thinking of, versus if I'm thinking of wanting to pay all of my debt, which is a great thing to think of, but it's different. Maybe I would still be worried about, oh my God, I hope my student loan collector or the university doesn't get mad at me. Or, oh my God, what if I have to pay more interest because I was supposed to make a payment 15 days ago? Or maybe it would be even more subtle. Like I'd be at the supermarket looking at two different brands of jam. One is organic and $8. The other one is not organic and $4. And I would go for the $4 one, assuming that I better set as much money aside, including the $4 difference, so I can pay my debt, right? So now I'm making the assumption through that small action of purchasing strawberry jam that my debt is not paid. And this is where people fuck it up, including myself. You know, I'm no champion. I've just managed to apply this maybe better than other people who are not aware of the law yet. But I still have obviously so many things that haven't manifested yet. So these are the small day-to-day actions that subconsciously or consciously imply that what we want is not there. Let's say I want to be abundant and never feel short on money again. If I see that I'm out of laundry detergent, often the first thought that we have, and we might not even be conscious of it, is, oh, I have to buy some more and it's so expensive, right? This is the thought we have. Or instead of the thought could be, oh, I'm running out, I have to go for a boring trip at the supermarket, I can't be bothered. That would be like a healthy thought. But often is like, oh my God, I just ran out of my organic laundry detergent. It's going to be $45 to buy a new, you know, a new liter, 2 liters of that. And that is going to create a slight stress response, which again, it's fine. It's not like something you're thinking about all day, but it's a micro action. But we have so many of these throughout our day that if you look at all of these micro actions, feelings, thoughts, and reactions, all of them together really imply often that what you want is not there. And that's the only reason why what you want isn't there. So in the law of assumption and the law of basically assuming that the wish is already fulfilled, there is something that is extremely important, which is ignoring your 3D reality. They say again and again and again and again and again that your 3D reality is absolutely, completely irrelevant. So let's imagine that you want to go on a very beautiful vacation, first business class or first class plane tickets at the Four Seasons in, I don't know, Bora Bora, the Bahamas, Fiji, Dubai, Paris, you name it. And that trip would probably be around, let's say, another number, like $10,000, all expenses included. And maybe right now your bank account is more close to zero, or maybe it's close to 16,000, or maybe you have 50,000, but it has to go through expenses, the kids, college fees, whatever. So Neville says And the law says your 3D is absolutely irrelevant when it comes to your ability to manifest your wish fast. So some people might argue, well, my 3D reality should at least to some extent match what it is I want before I can get what I want, right? I kind of have to be en route or in the direction of the wish fulfilled in order for it to happen. Neville says, no, your 3D reality is completely irrelevant. Your 3D reality, he goes as far as saying that your 3D reality, as you are experiencing through your five senses, may I add limited senses, is nothing else than a holographic projection of your main thoughts and feelings from the past. And when I say thoughts and feelings, it's thoughts, feelings, inner dialogue, expectations and assumptions that we have about ourselves and about life in general. So our 3D reality is kind of a projection, just like a movie being projected of the sum total of our inner thoughts, beliefs, feelings, assumptions, and expectations. And he says what is really real is your imagination. And some people might argue, no, your reality is real, your imagination is imagined. No, he says your imagination is the most real thing that you have, because your reality will always catch up what you're holding in your imagination. So first you imagine, then the reality happens. And when he says imagine, it's not just what we spend, again, in our 30-minute meditation, imagining of what we want for our life. Our imagination is not only composed of those blissful moments where we can be in a state of meditation and visualizing exactly what it is we want, which that would be great and that would be so much easier for manifestation in general. But our imagination also includes inner dialogue, thoughts, micro moment and reactions. So when I stress about not having any laundry detergent, I'm stressing because part of me is imagining that it's going to be expensive, and because it's expensive, I might run out of money for something else. That is all happening basically in a microsecond, so we might not be consciously aware that that's everything we are imagining, but basically it's still the information that is getting processed in our mind. So he says your 3D is not real because it is a projection of your inner world. The only thing that is real is your inner world, and it's only a matter of time before your outer world reflects your inner world. So change what you imagine, and your reality is going to catch up very fast. So now I'm going to tell you exactly how to apply this, and I'm also going to give you a bunch of examples that I think are going to make you very happy and very hopeful about how easy it was for me to manifest things that I didn't even think were possible for me. I didn't even realistically think that I could have those things, yet I still manifested them extremely fast, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I did it. And I wholeheartedly believe at a cellular level that you can do it too extremely fast. This is a very exciting episode. So Neville says, and all of the people who use the law of assumption, ignore the 3D reality. You need to choose to give zero energy on your present circumstances and refocus on what you want and it already being there, and thinking, acting, and evolving in your daily actions from it already being there. And I will also add at the end of this podcast episode how I think you should navigate the balance between the state of assumption that things are already there and still doing some inner work to kind of clear bullshit that is no longer serving you. And before I enter that example, there's something else I wanted to add. He also says, Neville says, that everyone around you, so the way people react to you, act towards you, the extent to which they're nice, helpful, supportive, or mean and bitchy, is just you projected outward. So everyone around you is reflecting you, and rather than you, because you might be a very kind person and attract unkind behavior. So he says they are a projection of your inner beliefs about yourself and about how you expect people to react to you. It's a projection of your identity and self-concept, your self-esteem, your self-worth, and the extent to which you feel that you deserve to be treated, you know, very well by other people. So even if I'm the kindest person in the world and I keep having, I don't know, flaky friends who don't want to stick around me, it could mean that I'm also like that to some extent in some area of my life, but it could also just mean that because I've had so many experiences of people being unreliable and flaky, maybe growing up, maybe it was my parents, maybe it was a primary caregiver, you know, it doesn't really matter, maybe it's generational, the result of that is that I have internalized a set of expectations and assumptions about other people, which basically say people are flaky, I'm never chosen, I'm never important. So again, even if I'm not consciously thinking this, and sometimes, you know, some beliefs happen in the womb. Maybe, you know, your mom was pregnant with you and your dad left and abandoned you. And it was a very difficult experience for your mom. And now she internalized the belief system that she was not important for someone to stay for her and her baby in the most important moment in her life. And you have absorbed all of that feeling, beliefs, and emotions when you were just a baby in her womb, right? So sometimes we're not even aware that we have such beliefs, but yet it still forms our expectations and assumptions about the external world and how people react to us, and that will always be reflected to us. Neville says, goes as far as saying you can change anyone's behavior towards you based on what you are assuming from them, even if they don't do any inner work. And I'm going to share a sensational example of that in a second. So coming back to the 3D doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is your imagination. Imagination also includes every thought and dialogue that you hold in your mind, as we all do throughout the day. We all chat with ourselves, right? So I'm going to give you now a very specific example of how I have used the law of assumption. So a while ago, I can't remember when it was, but when it was, I was still very much stressed about my student loan. I mismanaged a bunch of my mail when I was traveling a long time ago. I thought my mom would scan it and send it to me. She thought my dad would do it. My dad thought my mom would do it. So a bunch of stuff did not arrive to me. And in Switzerland, we have a very aggressive system. If you don't pay your bills in time, you get a reminder. You have to pay for the reminder. And then everything can turn, can go, like hell can break loose really, really fast with like extremely aggressive debt collection agencies that will be after you. So I had all of these things plus a student loan that I hadn't been able to repay, and it was stressing me the fuck out. And the way it was showing up in my life was through micro moments. So I would go to the supermarket and the total was like $37, and I thought it would be more around $20, and I would leave the supermarket frustrated, thinking, oh my God, all of this is so freaking expensive, right? Kind of assuming that I don't have an abundance of money. Or some friends would be like, hey, do you want to go rather to this restaurant or that restaurant? And in a micro moment, my mind would remember the menus of both restaurants and know which one was cheaper. So I would want to go to the cheaper one because, again, I was tight on money. So all of those are micro moments where we are reinforcing the undesirable state of, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough money. Or maybe, you know, there was an offer online for this really nice hotel that I love. It's this like palace in the mountain, and it has the most beautiful spa I have ever been to. And they had this offer where it was like $450 a night instead of like $900. And of course, I would have jumped on that offer, but I didn't because I didn't have the money. So I was keeping on, you know, perpetuating this state of I don't have the money. And I was feeling extremely stressed and anxious, like avoiding opening some letters because I knew that it was a reminder of the bill I hadn't paid. And all of that was fucking stressing me out. So I was kind of doing the ostrich strategy of not really wanting to face it, but at the same time doing everything I possibly could to get clients so I could pay all of that, which wasn't helping because I was always stressed. And at some point, I did some EFT on feeling and thinking all of these negative things around my financial situation. And I had this switch in my mind where I was like, excuse my language, fuck this bullshit. Like, there are these governmental agencies, like pension funds, health insurances, that are billionaires. And here I am ruining my day-to-day life for like the past 2 months, not being in the present moment. Like, I could die tomorrow and look back on the last 2 months and like notice that I wasn't even able to enjoy a nice summer day at the lake because I was too caught up in my worries for these billionaires and institutions and like basically all of this bureaucratic stuff outside of me, who they don't care if I'm paying late, right? Of course they want me to pay on time, they want everyone to pay on time, but it's not gonna make any difference for any of the investors in these huge companies. It's not gonna make any difference for anyone working in there. And even if it did, me feeling absolutely miserable about it was not gonna make them feel better. So at some point I decided I am no longer willing to compromise my well-being for all of this nonsense. So what I did is I did some EFT to calm myself down every morning so I could start the day emotionally rather neutral. And then I asked myself one question, and I want to ask you to ask yourself the same question. I said, how would I act? What would I say? What would be a situation that implied and assumed that all of these bills are paid and I have nothing to worry about? Like a simple mental image or like a mini scenario that implied that everything was paid. And for me, it was very simple because I have an Excel file with all of my bills, when they are due, if they've been paid or not. And the ones that are not paid, the row in the Excel file is orange, and the one that are paid, the row in the Excel file is green. So I can like kind of have a visual representation of what is paid and what is not. So I decided to imagine that all of the rows in my Excel file were green and that there was an extra column that said paid, thank you so much, because I always thank the universe each time I pay a bill. So it said paid, thank you so much. And I would, there, I also have a column in my Excel file that says the date at which I pay something. And I imagine the date being the end of the month. So maybe it was like the 5th of the month, and I imagine I am done with feeling like this. At the end of this month, everything is gonna be paid. The money is going to come in and everything is going to be paid. So that's what I visualized. And I also visualized going to the spa, being at the spa, like having a cucumber water. And obviously, if I'm having cucumber water at the spa, it means that I can afford it and that all of the stuff that needed to be paid has been paid. Hence, I had extra money to treat myself to the spa. So I had this mental image of me drinking on my cucumber water from this nice glass at the spa in a bathrobe and comfy, you know, slippers, imagining my Excel file having only green rows and all of the column on the right saying paid, and the date being the end of the month. And that's the image I stubbornly kept in my mind. And I would close my eyes, I would do meditations, I would put some music that really made me feel abundant. You know, sometimes I just stumble across a song that makes me feel like good. So I would listen to that, imagine that everything is paid, I'm at the spa. And then I had a very strict mental diet. Mental diet is what is going to break or make your manifestation, and it's also what is going to determine the speed at which it manifests. So I would have these moments during the day where a shitty thought would come, and that is okay. Mental diet doesn't mean we never have shitty thoughts, that's impossible. But it means we are not giving energy and negative emotions and feeding that thought like you would water a plant that you don't want to grow. So I would have a thought that said, oh my God, I hope my student loan debtor doesn't come after me. And then I would stop myself immediately and I would say, stop. That is a really weird thing to think, because everything is paid. I would live from the state of the wish fulfilled, which was everything is paid. So I was delulu. Some people might say you were delusional, but I was, because I remembered my 3D is not real. Only my imagination is real. The 3D reality I'm experiencing now with these debts not being paid is nothing else than a projection from my past belief, anxiety, and worry that ultimately manifested itself in my 3D. So if I stop doing that and I tune into a new state of being and I think new things, my 3D needs to catch up. So each time I had a scary thought, or, oh, what if my health insurance sends me an angry letter, which they love to do, and I would say, no, I'm the type of person whom everyone is so nice with, everyone is so understanding, everyone is so willing to help me out. And there was one bill that was going about to turn into a shit show. It was like a $500 bill that I was going to get a $400 fine on, because like it's one of those legal things you have to submit in Switzerland about your social insurances, and they are super aggressive. Like, it's a little form that you have to send once a year, but if you don't do it, you're in trouble. And I hadn't done it, and I discovered it like as my parents send me all of my mail, whatever, it's not important. So I was like, okay, I need to call these people. And I was so scared of calling them, but I said, no, it's all going to be okay. Everyone always treats me so well. And I felt it. So I called them and I just, you know, I said, I am so sorry. I really mismanaged this situation. There was a misunderstanding with my parents. I'm out of the country. I did not see this letter 2 months ago when I was supposed to see it. And I just discovered it now, you know, with horror. I'm going to send you the form, like, can we do anything about this fine? And the lady was like, no worries, I just put into the system that we'll get the form from you by the end of the week. There is the first $100, I'm not sure that I can waive that, but the next $300 of the fine, as long as you send the form by the end of the week, don't worry about that at all. And just send us an email asking us to waive the $100 original fine too, and I'll see what I can do about that. Boom, problem solved. Whereas I had been avoiding it because I was so scared. So to make a long story short, I kept imagining the rows on the Excel file all being green, which implied that everything was paid. And it's a very easy image to hold. So just pick whatever image for you implies the state that you want. And each time I had a thought, I would say, stop, everything is paid, all of the rows are green. Everything is paid, all of the rows are green. Everything is paid, all of the rows are green. And after some time, I started to really feel peace. It didn't bother me anymore. I was like, yeah, this is gonna happen. All of the rows are green and all of the bills are paid. And next thing you know, the universe did its magic. And I had this person reach out by DM saying, hey, someone recommended you, like someone, a past one-on-one client recommended you. There are some things that, you know, I really need support with, and I was wondering if we could have a chat. So I was like, oh, interesting. And then basically this led to that. She was busy, so when I answered her, she didn't answer. So I wasn't really expecting the money to come from there. I was expecting it to come from like a launch I had a very long time ago. So I was like kind of strategizing my launch, not really like still being very unclear on what this was going to happen, but I kept repeating, all of the rows are green, everything is paid. All of the rows are green, everything is paid. And I would imagine myself going, you know, to the spa. And I also, when I went to the supermarket and the initial reaction was stress, because it's okay to have an old initial reaction, I would say to myself, how funny it is that I'm stressed about this supermarket, $37. Everything is paid and I have extra money. There's nothing to be worried about. And if a friend wanted to go for ice cream, you know, where I was traveling is like $7, I would say, yeah, let's go for ice cream because everything is paid and I have extra money. So you really have to live it and embody it. So basically this client reached out through DMs. She wasn't like, nothing was really going on with that. And at some point I was like, wait a minute, she's mirroring my own behavior. So how come have we still not been on that call? And she really, like, from what she described, she needed support with, I was really the perfect person for her. And I realized I had some fears. I said, what if we get on a call and she tells me she can't afford it, or maybe she's asking for a payment plan rather than pay in full, and I kind of need the full amount now. So I just realized that her indecisiveness in booking a call with me was just a reflection of my own indecisiveness, or maybe my own fears about maybe her not being full in. So as soon as I became aware of that, I did some EFT again, and I just cleared the limiting beliefs. I said, no, everyone is you projected outwards, and I'm going to give you a very powerful example of that in a few minutes. So I said, if I decide that she's going to fall in love with this mentorship program, and that she's going to be on the Zoom call, and everything I say is going to deeply resonate with her, and she's going to be so excited about working with me, and she will want to pay me in full, because we are just a match. And I truly believe that. And as a side note, some people might say, but that implies that other people don't have free will, or it's manipulation. And it could be, but if you are always keeping the highest intention of everyone involved from a place of love, you can only get supported by the universe. So I really believe that, based on everything she had told me, that I could profoundly help her transform her life and heal some of her traumas. So I really knew that it would be the best option for her, because I feel these things really well. And it would also be a great thing for me. So it would benefit everyone involved from a loving place. So I did some EFT to clear all of these negative assumptions. I was like, I'm just projecting my limiting beliefs onto her. And I get to choose how she reacts to me, because she's going to react based on my assumptions I have about her. So I just assumed she would be on the call, she would fall in love with everything I said, she would feel so supported, and she would want to pay in full. So I did that EFT. Next thing you know, we book a call for a few days later. We have a 1 hour kind of like discovery, whatever you want to call it, call. She tells me all about her problems. I recognize my past version of me in so much of the things she says. I know exactly how to help her. A lot of codependency patterns, unhealed trauma, fear of shining too bright because you could leave other people behind, because you don't feel, you know, legitimate, because you're afraid of your clients not getting results and them feeling betrayed if they paid you. All of these things I could really resonate with. And she loved our call. I loved our call. And she said, okay, I'm in and I want to pay in full. And she was in. She paid in full, a big amount that paid all of my bills, and all of the rows in my Excel file were green. And I even had some extra to go to the spa and drink my cucumber water, because I always want to be very consistent with the images I hold in my mind to build confidence and reliability in myself that what I imagine is what I end up doing. So I did go to the spa and had my cucumber water from my expensive fluffy bathrobe and spa slippers, and it was exquisite. So my current reality of my bank account being pretty much zero, and being stressed about going to the supermarket, and all of these debt collectors being very aggressive, and me facing a potential $400 fine over a $500 bill, that is the type of shit that can really keep you down in the dumps. But I chose, this doesn't matter. It is just a reflection of my old imagination and assumptions, and now I'm imagining new things, so it can only get reflected to me. And that manifestation happened in less than 2 weeks. It was before the deadline I had set for myself. And it implied, or what it really took, was the mental diet of feeling pretty good throughout the day, and not only when I was imagining what I wanted. I'm going to give you another very powerful example of how we can change other people's behaviors based on our assumptions of them. And this can very well be relevant about you when you imagine potential clients. Maybe now the assumption is, people don't pay me high amounts. Or people are always so close to buying from me, but then something happens and they never commit. Or I'm not the type of person who can get a pay in full client who pays $10,000. Like, whatever assumptions you have of people is going to be reflected to you. And I'm going to give you another example of how that powerfully changed. So this story dates from 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 2024, 7 years. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, just for privacy reasons for the person involved. But to make a long story short, and the details of this context don't really matter that much, I had someone in my family member, and the dynamic with that person for the first 24 years of my life was that I was extremely scared of that person because they were very harsh in their words. They would yell and scream when things wouldn't go their way. They were a bit of a tyrant. Someone close enough that I would have to spend, you know, a lot of time around them. And for the first 24 years of my life, when they started screaming, it would like trigger so much fight or flight in me that I would just put my head down, look at the floor, hold everything in, wait until it was gone, and then either cry in my room or be angry, but I wasn't allowed to express anger. And basically my relationship with that person is that we had some wonderful moments, of course, and a lot of them, but a lot was tainted by the constant fear of the next lashing out. That always came very unexpectedly, like things could seem to go so well, and then next thing you know, you had an explosion of unjustified rage coming your way. And by the way, it took me, you know, a lot of EFT and therapy to get over that, but that's not the point. So you would assume that for such a relationship to become better, that person should probably go through a lot of therapy, right? Because I know for a fact that that person had an extremely fucked up childhood and that all of these anger outbursts was just a reflection of their unhealed trauma. So it would be very reasonable to assume that as long as they don't do their inner work, they're not really going to change. And that, I think, is a very reasonable assumption to have. But it can also be a bit distressing because it means that with some people that you might be stuck with, either, you know, a colleague or a family member or whatever, that you're helpless and hopeless because you can't change anything unless they are willing. Well, that is wrong. Spoiler alert. So what ended up happening is that person was involved in a very serious accident that they made a full recovery from. But there was a time when they were away recovering in like one of the best rehab centers we have in the country. So there was a 2-month period where I didn't, during which I basically had no interactions with that person. And so did other, you know, family members. They didn't have any interaction with that person either. Not, I mean, we did because we keep seeing the person from the rehab center, but not, you know, it wasn't as close to home. And during that 2 months, we discovered peace. No yelling and screaming, no, you know, unexpected anger outburst for no reason, no feeling belittled, no having like a dictator saying what we can't and can't do. So basically the standard and the baseline of our expectations and how life could be shifted. And I got to a point where I discovered a new way of life, which was peace. Oh, you can have a peaceful life and you can have serene, peaceful interactions with other people without there being constant stress, worry, yelling and screaming, which is something I hadn't known, or at least not for such a prolonged time as 2 months. So then eventually the person came back from the hospital, from the rehab center, the rehabilitation, not rehab. Well, I guess the rehabilitation, like the place you go when you're fucked up after an accident and they help you get better, came back, and an energetic shift had happened. And I was not into the work back then, so I didn't know about EFT or anything. Like I was still an inner work virgin. I hadn't done anything on myself. Nothing to alleviate the trauma, nothing. So when that person came back, there was some things that I just didn't tolerate anymore. So when they raised their voice, I would just leave. Or I would say, hey, let's talk about this later when everyone is calmed down, right? Or this is not the way I want to be spoken to. Let's continue this conversation either tomorrow or later, when everyone, you know, is calmed down. And there was some resistance in the beginning, which is normal because each time you're going to change a pattern with someone, there's going to be initial resistance. But those 2 months of peace had given me enough strength to know what I never wanted to go back to. So I just wouldn't take it. And I didn't really have the fear because I didn't give the opportunity to that person to go high on anger. So as soon as I saw the first signs and I could still manage it, I would just leave. And I really think that something did switch in me where I was like, I'm not tolerating this anymore. Like, the fear of their outburst is kind of taking the back burner, and the priority now is my inner peace, and I'm no longer willing to compromise that. So there was a shift in my own energy and my boundaries and what I was willing to tolerate and what I wasn't willing to tolerate. So there was some initial pushback of that person saying, no one respects me, you guys, you know, are making my life miserable. And eventually that went away, and there were no longer any outbursts, yelling, screaming, manipulation, etc., etc. They did periodically, that did some episodes periodically happen after, yes, but less and less and less and less, until they completely vanished into just the normal every now and then frustration between any human beings that are interacting with each other. So the point I want to make with this example is that I would have believed, as long as that person doesn't do inner work on what is triggering all of their trauma and anger, this is never going to change. And I do think it's a reasonable assumption to have. But the law says whatever you assume is what you attract. So I just kept, and by then I didn't, at that time I didn't know anything about the law. So I wasn't even having this inner dialogue. I was just perpetually expecting that this was a person I should be afraid of. And because I was expecting that, they gave me reasons to be afraid of them. And once the whole accident and them being away and coming back happened, the way that that person interacts with me is very peaceful and respectful, and I really enjoy spending time with that person. And I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't even know that was available to me and within the context of that relationship. But it happened. And looking back, what happened is that when they were gone, my expectation changed and my assumptions changed to assuming and expecting verbal violence and a constant state of fight or flight and unrest and fear to, hey, I can be happy and peaceful. And this is my new assumption because it's been 2 months and it's been going so well. So because I have an assumption of I'm not going to take any bullshit anymore, and if they're not happy, they can be mad all alone, that person could only modify their behavior to match my new assumptions and what I imagined as what life could be, which is peaceful and neutral and fine. And even though they didn't do any therapy, and we can think, well, maybe their accident changed them in a way that, no, it didn't. Because for other things, I know for a fact that it didn't. So it was just my inner expectations that completely changed the dynamic of that relationship. And I've seen it over and over again with other relationships and with clients once I knew the law that rests behind it. As long as I was afraid of our anger outbursts, I was basically giving wind to a sailboat. And he's the sailboat and I'm the wind. So because I was so afraid, there was a vibration that could match his anger. He wanted to be angry, and he had someone who was afraid of his anger. Boom, perfect match, recipe for disaster. But then when I became completely indifferent to his anger because I just wasn't scared of him anymore, there was no vibration to match his anger because there was nothing on the other side to basically feed that pattern. So the pattern disappeared. And same goes with clients. If I'm constantly thinking, no one can pay me, no one takes me seriously, no one values me enough to pay me in full or to want to work with me, this is exactly what you're going to manifest. But change your expectations, and we can be like, but I have to do so much inner work and EFT and meditation and blah, blah, blah. No. I didn't do any of that, and I would say that this is the most radical thing that completely changed my life was that dynamic with that person because we were living under the same roof. And trust me, when you've lived 24 years in fear, moving from fear to complete peace is like your life has been upgraded better than any money can ever upgrade your life. And I didn't do any inner work, no EFT, no meditation, no visualizing, no journaling, nothing. yet it still changed because I changed my assumptions. So it only takes you holding a very specific image that you can choose, just like the Excel file and all of the rows being green. Maybe for you, your image is being on a Zoom and that client telling you, I'm so happy that I found you. Investing in your program was the best decision I ever made my entire life. I'm so glad I paid you in full. It felt so good when I did that. It only takes imagining that and feeling it, because if you don't feel it, it's not going to work. So now I'm going to give you a few examples of crazy things I have manifested that I didn't even know were possible for me to manifest. I wasn't even trying. I was fantasizing through daydream. And fantasizing through daydream is a technique that works extremely well, because when you are daydreaming, your brain is emitting a brainwave pattern that is the same brainwave pattern that we have between ages 0 and 7 that is extremely suggestible to new information. So everything that you are fantasizing about or daydreaming about with emotion, including worries about your bills, is going to get imprinted in your mind. So as a fun story, it was August and September of last year, so 2023, I was in Switzerland after spending time in Costa Rica, planning on going back to Costa Rica, but just chilling in Switzerland, spending time with family and friends. And I was going deep into the rabbit hole of everything feminine energy related. So, you know, setting the intention to meet a partner who wants to provide and protect, me getting princess treatment, me understanding that me being in my divine feminine means that I'm in a state of receivership, and just basically reprogramming myself to feel comfortable with receiving, as this is something I had not been comfortable or familiar with most of my adult life when I grew up. And so one of the fantasies I had, and it was like a completely, what I would consider completely unrealistic scenario. So I was basically fantasizing about that, just like sometimes you're daydreaming about these crazy things. You just won the Olympics in figure skating and everyone is praising you and you're getting your golden medal. Or, you know, I don't know, you get nuclear revenge on that kid who bullied you and, I don't know, they just lost their job because you sent an anonymous note and now you're laughing your ass off because karma, bitch. Or, you know, whatever it might be, we all daydream. So I was daydreaming about this completely what I thought would be unrealistic scenario of me being in Costa Rica, coming out of the water after a surf session because I surf every day. And as I'm walking out of the water, I have a delivery guy who brings me a beautiful bouquet of flowers, a brand new surfboard, and a motorcycle, which I wanted a new surfboard and a motorcycle. And he would tell me, this is from a secret admirer who wants to stay anonymous for your 30th birthday. And there's a note in the flowers that says, you are a queen. I hope you enjoy your gifts, your secret admirer. So that's what I kept fantasizing about. And I don't even know why my mind brought me there. I knew I wanted a new surfboard and I knew I wanted a new motorcycle. So I was planning accordingly for it. I was like planning some launches I was going to do so I could get the money to get my surfboard and my motorcycle. So at no moment ever did I think that I would not be paying for those items. I was basically manifesting the money to pay for the motorcycle and the board. But I was daydreaming about this scenario and everyone would be looking and be like, who even gets flowers, a surfboard, and a motorcycle? Like, who's that girl? And how did she do that? So that was what I was imagining. And I was just having fun with it. I was in my own world, in my imagination. It was absolutely real. And I could, you know, smell the flowers, see the board, ride the motorcycle, and be like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. I've, you know, my entire life, I never received as little as, you know, a $30 sweatshirt because I was so unfamiliar with receiving. And here I am receiving gifts for $5,000. And I think I held that daydream fantasy in my mind maybe 10 times. And it would just pop up at random moments. Sometimes I was working and I would just drift into this daydreaming fantasy and hold that image. And I would imagine it once or twice and then forget about it. So I want to reiterate, I was in no way, shape, or form trying to manifest that. It just happened to be a daydream. But I didn't want a surfboard and a motorcycle. So then I kind of forget about that. And once I was swimming at the lake with my mom, and I see something in the water, and I'm like, what's that? Like a big orange thing. And I thought it was like a big piece of plastic because it was against the sun, so I couldn't really see well. So I swim towards it to fish it out of the water. And it's this beautiful bouquet of roses. Don't ask me why there was a beautiful bouquet of roses floating in the lake. It was the very first time I had ever found flowers in the lake. So I was like, the universe sent me a bouquet of flowers. That is pretty cool. And I felt so amazing about that. My mom couldn't believe it. My friends couldn't believe it. And then that was in September. And in October, I came back to Costa Rica. I was like working on a launch that I kept procrastinating about because I don't know, sometimes I just procrastinate. Plus we had rain, so electricity keep cutting off. I had no electricity, anything from 2 to 10 hours a day. And I don't have service where I live, which means I had no Wi-Fi, no internet, nothing. So I couldn't really work. And to make a long story short, one day I'm in the water and I see a bunch of friends who are surfing too. And there was like other people I didn't know. And we all started to chat, like just friendly conversations about this and that. They asked me what I do. We start talking about everything, hypnosis, past life, regression, very important and interesting topics, and it's always fun to just meet random people who are interested in the same woo-woo stuff. And my 30th birthday was around the corner, so like 5 or 6 days later. And after day two or three, one of the people I had met in the water was going to get themselves, they were getting to go, going to, blah, blah, blah. They were going to get themselves new surfboards. And one of them randomly asks me, so Ines, like your 30th birthday, that's a big one. Like, what do you want? And I just blurted out, and it did take effort because this is something I would have never said before, but I was like, I'm in my feminine energy and I get to say what I want. So I just said in a very joyful way, I'm manifesting a new surfboard. And they were like, oh, okay, okay, nice. And how are you going to do that? And I was like, I don't know, the universe will provide it. And then we talked about something else and they were like, oh, do you want to come to the shop with us? Because I needed wax for my surfboard and I needed like one or two other items. I go to the shop with them. They get me the surfboard for my 30th birthday. It is $1,000 surfboard. So that came true. And never in a million years did I expect to get a new surfboard. I expected to get it for myself through money that I would manifest through launches. But never in a million years would I ever have expected someone to that I had met a few days ago to gift me $1,000 surfboard for my birthday. It wasn't even something that entered the field of possibilities for me. So I never, you know, had affirmations, or I never made myself a recording saying someone is going to gift you a surfboard because it was something I couldn't even believe could happen. And everyone says you just have to believe, and as long if you don't believe it's going to happen, it can't happen. But I don't think that's true. I'm going to go back to what Neville says, and he says whatever you hold in your imagination is going to happen. And I had held that image in my imagination, but not even purposely trying to manifest that. Like my brain had decided to come up with this fantasy of a secret admirer buying me flowers, a motorcycle, and a surfboard. The flowers happened through the lake. I got delivered the flowers at the lake. The surfboard got delivered by, well, I guess a secret admirer. He's not even a secret admirer. Well, I don't know what he is, but like a nice person I met in the water. And then the motorcycle, I manifested the biggest client I had ever manifested a few days after that. $17,000 or $18,000 for like one-on-one mentorship. And then I had the money to go buy my motorcycle in full. So even though it didn't all happen exactly the way I had fantasized about it, because it's not our job to decide how it's going to come, what I had fantasized about is I was receiving flowers, a surfboard, and a motorcycle. So they were in my possession. I was imagining the flowers at my house in a vase. I was imagining surfing the new surfboard and getting the motorcycle. And that is exactly what happened in the most crazy way you could have ever imagined. And I didn't even believe it was possible it's not that I didn't believe it was possible, because I didn't even think of that option. So because I didn't think of that option, I couldn't believe it was possible, because it wasn't even an option in the first place. Yet, it happened. And this is just absolutely crazy, 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 crazy. And I have an entire podcast episode about how I applied this to launches in the private launch podcast that is included in Six Figures Launching Secrets. The doors are only open for another 3 days, so get in here quick. But this is basically what I wanted to say. And if I were to conclude on how you can apply this in your life right now to manifest whatever it is you want. So let's say that you want to work with a mentor, like a coach or mentor, and you know, whatever they're charging, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. If you're thinking of how you're going to manifest the money to work with that, maybe you're thinking, oh, I need to have a successful launch so I can have the money so I can work with them. You can do that, but you're already kind of choosing how it's going to happen. And that's not our job. So what I would do if I were you and I wanted to work with a mentor is that I would just imagine being on Zoom with them. Or I would imagine it being 3 out of the 6 months we have together and being so happy. And I would imagine something I would actually do in my life. And what I would do is I would be sending a 6-minute voice message to one of my best friends, because that's what we do. We all send each other voice messages, anything between 3 to 30 minutes. And I would be telling something like, I am so glad I'm working with this mentor. There was this huge thing that was blocked for the past 2 years. We have finally unblocked it. She understands me so well. The money just came and it happened. I would say something like that. Or maybe I would imagine journaling on how happy I am to be in her program. Or I would imagine her texting me on Voxer with an insight that she just had about the last session we had together, right? So just hold an image that implies that what you want is happening or has already happened. That is all you need. If you know you want to manifest money because you want to pay for a bunch of stuff, again, it implies that first you need to manifest the money before you can get the things. But maybe you want a trip to Greece. What if you want that trip to Greece unexpectedly? So just imagine the wish already being fulfilled. You are in Greece. You are eating chicken, gyros, and tzatziki. Your feet are in the water with beautiful blue, salty, full of fish, gorgeous Mediterranean water. You are on the ferry going to one of the Greek islands. You are already there. And that's what Neville says. And you can Google Neville, and one of his dreams was to be in the Bahamas because his family lived there. And I think he was in New York or Chicago. He was dirt poor. There was no way he could ever afford to go there. And someone said, you are in the Bahamas. You are in the Bahamas. Ignore your 3D reality because it doesn't exist. You are in the Bahamas. So he kept imagining he's in the Bahamas at the family gathering. And he manifested 3 tickets to get there. First class, may I add. So hold the image that implies that the wish is already fulfilled, that the assumption is already fulfilled. Ignore your 3D reality. Your 3D reality doesn't matter at all. It is just a projection of past beliefs. You don't even need to believe or strategize or think about how it's going to happen. You just need to think from the wish fulfilled. Me imagining I'm walking out of the water and someone is giving me a board implies that I have received the board, right? Me, all of the times I visualize driving my new motorcycle implies the new motorcycle is already there. I'm not thinking of how I'm going to get it. I'm driving it. It's here. This is what you need to do. And in the Six Figure Launching Secrets, I have a podcast episode dedicated on exactly how to apply that to a launch. And you can get snippets of that in a past podcast episode that I recorded around August, around how nothing went as planned in my August launch, but I still manifested exactly what I wanted through assuming what I wanted. So you can like scroll back and find it, but I go into much more detail, of course, in the launching program. This stuff works. Oh, and there's another example. There's another example that I completely forget that is going to show you how fast these things can work. This is an hour a podcast episode. I was hoping to make it 30 minutes, but this stuff is just too good. So only a few days ago, I want to get barreled in surf. Getting barreled is when the wave is breaking in a very specific way that it creates this pocket and you can be inside of the wave. And it's not easy. It's a pretty difficult maneuver because usually the wave that is going to barrel is going to be steep. It's going to be fast. Your timing has to be really good. And if you mess it up, the wipeout can be pretty bad. You can like hit your board in your face. Like it can be bad. So it's a rather difficult maneuver that takes years of experience. And I've been surfing for 1.5 years and I decided I wanted to get barreled. So the other day I was at a beach club having a ginger lemonade and I was like listening to music on my phone, and there was this song that really got me emotionally, but because I could imagine myself being in that barrel. So I was playing the movie in my mind of getting barreled. So I'm in the barrel, I can see the entire thing happening in slow motion, the wave is breaking perfectly, I'm in the perfect position, I make the steep section, and then there happens to be a drone, because we have a joke in surfing that if no one filmed it, it didn't happen. So there happens to be a drone that's filming the exact perfect angle where you can see me in the barrel, and like everyone thinks it's crazy that I got in such a steep wave at only 1.5 years of surfing. And I was like on my beach bed at the beach club. I listened to the song maybe like 10 times in a row. The song is 1.5 minutes long. And I could really feel, it was so emotional. I could feel that I was in that barrel. And that is a pro tip. Usually music can get you very emotional. And sometimes, you know, when you're super depressed and you listen to even more depressive songs and then you're even more depressed, congratulations, you can trigger an emotion through a song. So just pick any type of song. I like Girls, just like Girls Wanna Have Fun from Cindy. Depends on what I'm trying to manifest. But so I had this song, I was in the barrel. And I played the movie maybe like 10 times in my mind. And then I can't remember, I started doing something else or chatting with a friend. The next day, so spoiler alert, I did not get barreled. But I got so close. I'm in the ocean, the conditions are big. We're not that many people out there because when it gets bigger and steeper, there's far less people. And, you know, I'm determined to get barreled, but I'm also scared because those waves are scary. And at some point I find a friend and I was like, oh, can you just help me get a good wave? And he said, yeah, of course. Like basically telling me what wave to go on because he's a really good surfer. And then this wave arrives, he's like, go on that one. So I go and it's almost barreling. It was a very, very nice wave. I was really proud of myself. And then I wiped out, I fell. And as I emerged from the water, I see a drone. So someone filmed it. And the someone was another friend. So eventually I got out of the water. He showed me the clip. And I kid you not, it is almost exactly what I had imagined. Like to the T. The only difference is that this wave that I went on was not quite open enough to be a proper barrel. So even if I wanted to be in, I couldn't. But everything else about the wave, the shape of the wave, the angle at which I am getting into the wave, the angle of the drone footage, it is exactly what I had been daydreaming the day before at the beach club. And the odds that there would be someone filming, and there are a lot of people in the water, so even if there's a drone, the drone is probably filming someone else. So the odds that everything happened at that moment, that the drone would be there, that another friend would help me select a good wave, that I could be in the wave, it was almost barreling. Like, the odds are not odding. So it took less than 24 hours because my emotion as I was listening to the music and imagining myself in that barrel was so high. And the higher the emotion, the faster it comes, that I was basically already in the barrel. And again, this is not something, like, if I had created myself a hypnotic recording, I would have a hard time believing it's possible because I know how hard it is to get barreled. So I would have to do 3 hours of EFT to get rid of the limiting belief that I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. So I just bypassed that entire process and just had fun visualizing it already happening. And because I had no pressure and no resistance, because for me it's kind of so unrealistic that this would happen so fast. I'm expecting it to happen at some point, but not now. That I had no resistance. I had no pressure. It didn't have to happen now, because for me it's like, I mean, if it happens, it's awesome, but if it doesn't, it's fine too. Just like when I visualized the fantasy about the board. Like, for me it was such a stretch for something like that to even be possible that I wasn't even really trying. And because I wasn't really trying, I didn't have the need and the resistance and the fear that it wasn't going to happen. And because I had no fear, resistance, and need, it happened. So you don't need to do a million hours of EFT and hypnosis to believe that it can happen. Because if I'm doing 2 hours EFT each day, because I don't have the belief that something is going to happen, the 2 hours of EFT are making the assumption that I'm not at a point in my life where I believe it can happen. So it's not going to happen. And this is the subtle thing about the law of assumption. You just have to act as if it's already there. So then I will conclude with this, because it's very important. The million-dollar question is, well, should I be doing an inner work? Because if I do inner work, it might tell the universe that I believe I'm too unhealed to get what I want. And this is a very good question. And my answer to that is, what I do is in my life and throughout my day, I would do EFT or meditation to get to a neutral space. So if I'm in fight or flight about not being able to pay my bills or never finding Mr. Right, or if I'm in fight or flight about the wave that's going to crash on my head and the fin could slice my head, which happens, this is not going to work, because now I'm emanating this vibration of fear. So I'm going to do EFT or meditation or yoga, whatever, to be to a neutral emotional standpoint, like a clean slate upon which I can build, imagine, and fantasize. So I would only do inner work to the extent to which you need to release big, unhelpful emotions that you are experiencing now that are creating fight or flight and that are basically making the assumption of what you don't want. Once the slate is cleared, and it doesn't have to be perfect, you can then go on to living your life, have fun, go make a sand castle, jump in a puddle of mud with waterproof rain boots, make a flower crown, bake cinnamon buns, have a bubble bath, throw something against the wall if that's what you want to do, paint with your fingers, like do anything that's fun and serene, because if you already have everything you wanted, you would be having fun. You would not be constantly worrying about having to meditate. So do the inner work and EFT to the extent that you need to alleviate strong, unhelpful emotions, and then assume that it's done. But we can't assume it's done if we are in a state of panic. So I would say the resources and everything that's included in the launching program are extremely helpful, and I'm doing it as I'm launching now. Sometimes I have limiting beliefs from the past. What if no one enrolls? What if this doesn't work? So I will do my EFT, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, sometimes 1 hour. Then all of this shit is cleared. I'm feeling great and I go on with my life. And all of these resources, including guided meditations on living in the assumption and the wish fulfilled, are in Six Figures Launching Secrets. And basically all of the resources, whether it's strategic, because if you believe the strategy is going to work for you, it's going to work for you. So all of the strategic resources, the assets, the step-by-step process, the emails, the templates, and all of the audio meditations, as well as 5 private podcast episodes on how to pivot, what to do if things are not going well, how I use the law of assumption in my own launches. You will find all of that in Six Figures Launching Secrets. So you can basically apply the law of assumption and get what you want. And yeah, for the barrel example, the surf barrel example, it took less than 24 hours to manifest. For the Excel file, with all of the rows being green, it took less than 2 weeks. For my surfboard, I was expecting to buy a surfboard by December of that year. I got it in October. So it can move very fast, very, very, very fast. And that depends on your ability to mental diet, ignore your 3D, and imagine and feel what it is you want. So I hope this was fantastically helpful, and I wish you a fantastic day.